The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
In my power ranking, you'll hear that in a few minutes. Power rankings. Raj, I remember when I invented power rankings, walking down Broadway one day, I thought, What? Remember when I called you? I was very excited. I texted you. I said, it was before text messaging, I think. And I realized, what would be a new, fresh way of talking about the rankings of NFL teams in flux, like during the season where it changes week to week?
Yeah, remember you hit me on my pager.
That's right. That's right. I paged you. That's right. 911. And you got back to me right away. And I said, I was thinking about it, and I think we should call it power rankings because that, it sexes it up a little bit. And now everyone has them. But still, you get your original power rankings right here on the Max Kellerman Show, the original ones, like the original Ray's Pizza in New York, Raj, which isn't even there anymore. Anyway, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join me on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. LeBron James agreed to a 2-year, $85 million contract extension with the Los Angeles Lakers. Agent Rich Paul of Clutch Sports told ESPN's Dave McMenamin. Going to talk about that a little bit later. Meantime, is Perk on or off today, Raj?
He's on. He had an obligation, he called it, at 2:10. So he's going to join us in the second hour of the show.
That's good. Good man. Kendrick Perkins, big media star. Well, that guy, he has it all as a media personality, Raj. A lot of flavor, comes with the info. I thought when Perk first started in the business, he was just going to be a kind of grumpy old man type because he has an old soul, as he'll tell you. Man yells at cloud, get off my lawn, that kind of guy. It's always better in the old days. But Perk has a very sophisticated understanding of the game. And will speak his mind. He is not afraid to give opinions. You can be a part of Max Kellerman Nation, by the way, on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. It's official. College football's back. So is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. So, L.A., we're going to get into LeBron and the Lakers. New York, we're going to get into a little bit of KD and the Nets and expectations in Brooklyn. Chicago, I want to tell you a little bit about the Bears. Everyone's saying that Nagy made a mistake starting Nick Foles too early in the season. Stephen A. was trying to beat me in the head with that one a couple days ago. I'm going to break that down too. Philly, we're talking Embiid and Simmons. Lot going on today is the NBA somehow gets ready to start again. It's right around the corner. But first, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Third time's a charm after three postponements due to a COVID outbreak. By the way, it's still outbreaking. It's still breaking out COVID on the Ravens, right? But the Ravens and Steelers are finally set to play this afternoon. Sources tell ESPN Baltimore they had two more positive tests come back before the team left for Pittsburgh yesterday. It's still breaking out. This marks the 10th straight day of positive COVID tests, which include at least a dozen players, most notably, of course, reigning NFL MVP Lamar Jackson. In his place tonight, RG3. I can't even say the original Lamar Jackson because RG3 was Michael Vick 2.0. I'm talking about guys who are, when I group Michael Vick, RG3, and Lamar Jackson, what I'm really saying is these might be the best runners, period, in the NFL at the time they were at their best, and they were also quarterbacks. Like, could you really say anyone ran better than Mike Vick back then? Oh, remember in Minnesota, the two defenders knocking each other out? He just hit acceleration. RG3 also, like, people forget, his rookie year, he was so, like, as a Giants fan, I feared playing Washington that year because of RG3. And then Lamar set the league on fire. But, look, as is the case with not just running quarterbacks, but, like, supersonic quarterbacks, You gotta pass the ball down the field. You gotta throw the ball down the field. You gotta be accurate down the field. Read defenses quickly and all that. Or eventually they'll adjust to you. Mike Vick didn't have, and he'll tell you, the kind of work habits that that Lamar Jackson has. But RG3 really is just bad luck, man. Look, he has the knee injury, and he stupidly talks coach into, like, you know, because he drank the Kool-Aid. He's a tough guy, wants to go out there, and coach let him out with a knee injury. Come on, man. And he's never really been the same. But in terms of a backup quarterback for Lamar Jackson, could you do better than RG3? Like, you ideally, if you have a quarterback with the kind of talent that that Lamar Jackson has, RG3, like, you want a quarterback who can approximate that, backing him up. And RG3 can approximate it. Oh, well, it may be a pale comparison at this point in RG3's career, but of course, if you approximate Lamar Jackson too closely, you ain't no backup quarterback. Was I saying running back or quarterback? I meant quarterback, obviously. Anyway, Baltimore Ravens running backs J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram are not expected to play in today's game at Pittsburgh, even though both are eligible to do so, according to a source. So the question really is, can the Ravens challenge the Steelers with RG3 at quarterback? And the answer is, I'm going to get to that in a little bit. I'm going to get to it right now, Raj. I'm just kidding. The answer is yes. The Ravens can challenge the Steelers. The Ravens can beat the Steelers without Dobbins, without Ingram, and without Lamar Jackson. You know how I know? They beat them last game of last season without their entire team. The Ravens, look, you know who's the starter week 17 for the Ravens last year against the Steelers? RG3. It was the last game he started. And they won. They didn't win by a field goal. They won 28-10. Now, look, Roethlisberger didn't play that game, so I get it. Field position, you know, if your offense is struggling with a K, as the Pittsburgh offense was without Roethlisberger, then, you know, field position's going to be tough. And there's, you know, it's not just that Roethlisberger by himself is worth 18 points, but it changes the whole game. Nevertheless, I know they didn't have Roethlisberger. Still, I'm saying, with Roethlisberger and without Ingram and without Lamar Jackson, Pittsburgh with Roethlisberger, Baltimore without Lamar Jackson or Mark Ingram, Baltimore can still win this game. They can still, as they say, flat out win this game. Number one, this is Pittsburgh and Baltimore. But the Steelers and the Ravens played 44 times in this new century. So entering this season, 22-22, the point differential was basically zero. Everything, like, is as even as it could be. They're storied franchises with recent success, historical success, in the same division, going head-to-head. They're dead even. And Pittsburgh won the first meeting. It means Baltimore's due, right? But beyond all that, forget about, like, that, just that kind of superstitious sports stuff. Yes, they didn't have Roethlisberger, right? Or is it no, they didn't have Roethlisberger? That's always unclear to me. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, the point is, they didn't have Roethlisberger, but they had the rest of the team. I mean, the Pittsburgh defense has gotten even better since then, but they had a very good defense last year. And other than Roethlisberger, they had their starters last year. And they were highly motivated. Understand, Pittsburgh ended the season 8-8, which may have been Tomlin's greatest coaching achievement without his starting quarterback until this year, where they're undefeated. Maybe this year will be Tomlin's greatest coaching achievement. But they ended 8-8. They had a chance to go 9-7. They had a chance to go over 500. As though playing Baltimore last game of the season isn't enough incentive, how about a plus 500 record without Roethlisberger? Think that was incentive? How about the fact that last season during this game, where, yes, Pittsburgh didn't have Roethlisberger, Baltimore sat the starters. They didn't start anybody. The RG3 was in the game because they weren't starting Lamar Jackson. They didn't start anybody. Ingram, anybody. Why would they? They had number one seed locked up. Why would they start guys? So the backups in Baltimore beat, yes, a Roethlisberger, but they had everyone else. Hungry, motivated Pittsburgh team with RG3 as the quarterback. Now, what kind of line did he put up? He put up a line the way, like, Cam's been putting up lines. Another running quarterback has been putting up lines for the Patriots. You can't judge all quarterbacks by the same statistics. You know, so guys are utilized differently and have different strengths and weaknesses. And the reason I don't mind at all correlating wins and losses to, like, quarterback wins to greatness at quarterback is because it's by far the single most, you know, it's the number one determining factor to a game other than coach. It's a coach and quarterback. Look around the league. Look at any successful franchise. Great coach, great quarterback. Right? Or at least one of them, and the other one's competent. But usually both. And look at the franchises that are struggling. They don't have either or both. One or the other or neither, you know. So, when you look at last season, and or the last time, rather, that these two teams played, and you examine Lamar's stat line, think more like Cam this year with Belichick, who's one game under 500, but again, two plays away from being 7-4. RG3 threw the ball 21 times. He completed 11 of the passes, so it's a tick over 50%. One pass over 50% or something like that. Anyway, he threw for under 100 yards. It was 96 yards. And he ran for another 50. But understand, that was enough to win by 18. That's enough to win by 18 points against a motivated rival. With your backups, don't tell me RG3 can't win this game today. Yes, he can. He can. This would be a big win for the Steelers. Now, I'm not going to pick them, but I'm not going to pick them mainly because I think the Steelers have a huge chip on their shoulder right now. They got the Titans game got postponed. They lost their bye week. The Ravens game got postponed. They lost their mini bye. It got postponed again and again. It's not simply a matter of, well, now they've had extra rest. You got to practice. You got to get ready for the game. They don't know what they're going to do. And they got to be thinking, timeout. We're 10-0. We're undefeated. It's week 13 already. And we don't have respect? And no one's picking us to win the AFC because of Kansas City? And these dudes beat us last year with their backups. This is going to be a good game. It's going to be a good. I will be very surprised if it's a blowout. I think it's going to be a tight game. And that was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
No bias.
I really like football.
Just facts.
Don't get it crooked here. What I'm saying.
Max's NFL Power Rankings.
All right. Oh, we got a little NFL music. I thought it was...
Yeah. And we also have help from a friend from way back in the day. Where are we starting?
Five.
Who?
You see that? Yeah. Remember Count Dracula?
Wait. Is that
five.
Is that the Count? Not Count Dracula. You mean the Count from Sesame Street?
Yeah, same thing.
But I can't even hear. Play that again.
Five.
That's unrecognizable. Come on. You got to tee that up and say the Count is here.
Well, we got some ha 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 we'll be able to add later. But
all
that's
right,
okay.
Good.
Listen. The Colts, you had number five, a team both you and I believed in with the defense, running game. We thought Philip Rivers got it together. Who's number five this week, Sir Max?
Well, I thought they were going to beat the Titans because they were at home also, but the Titans went to Indianapolis and won. The Titans replaced the Colts at five. And they're similar teams. They're well-balanced. They can play on both sides of the ball. And while no one is picking them to win the whole thing, it would be that less shocking things have happened than a team like the Titans or the Colts this season. Winning the Super Bowl. They are capable of it. I think that Mahomes changes the equation for everyone. But otherwise, the Titans are a real contender. And they're at five now.
Not saying he'll be your winner of the MVP, but is Derrick Henry in a conversation?
No, he's not. And by the way, Raj, here's the thing. Not only is he not really a pass catcher, but remember what Casey Joyner, the football scientist, has told us time and again on this show. Run blocking, right? I tell this story. Bill Polian, who put together a great Bills dynasty, even though they didn't win the Super Bowl, they're there all the time. And then later on, an Indianapolis Colts dynasty, right, with Peyton Manning. Bill Polian once told me, we were kind of arguing it, and like, he's forgotten more football than I'll ever know. But he said, running back makes the line. I'm like, come on. Bill, like a line makes the run. He goes, no, running back makes the line. But what KC Joyner, who's actually studied this, every team, every line, going back decades, is run blocking makes the running back. And the premium running backs, the real value they give you is they're as good on, you know, snap one or carry 300 as on carry one, so it frees up a roster spot. That's not enough to give Derrick Henry the MVP.
All right, fair enough, fair enough. A team we had last week, which one is this one, Jake?
Four!
I love the way he rolls his tongue. Anyway, we had the Rams at number four last week. We thought they was ready, man, but they went to San Fran and laid an egg. So who's number four now?
San Fran can play defense. But the Seahawks, based on their win against the Eagles, I know the lowly Philadelphia Eagles, but the Eagles played a very good defensive game. They really did. Like, you have to give credit to a team where you see it. They played their guts out on defense. And so, and Seattle still won. Seattle, I have thought since preseason, when they made the trade for Jamal Adams, I picked them to come out of the NFC. But given how bad the defense has been, and given the moves that the Saints made, the move they made at the deadline, they both made moves at the deadline. I like the Saints move a little bit more. But at any rate, I like the Saints out of the NFC now, but I still like Seattle in the NFC West, and they're fourth in the power rankings this week.
That means we are at
three.
Who is three last?
It's gonna grow on you. Well, three, you had the Saints last week. Now, Denver didn't have their quarterbacks, but they did have a starting defense, and Taysom Hill got it done again. Who you got now?
Well, big change this week, Raj. No,
what?
I'm just kidding. Saints at three.
Oh.
Listen, here's the thing. Here's the thing about Taysom Hill. He can read defenses, and he can throw it well enough. He can do those two things well enough. You know what else he can do well enough to, like, start or to play a position? If you could split him out wide, you could play him in the slot. He can run, and he can catch, right? Like, you can put him anywhere. He can run it out of the backfield. He can catch it out of the backfield. So if he is on the field now with Drew Brees when Brees gets back, that's a real problem. That's like a different kind of wildcat, because the second quarterback can not only legitimately play the position, not like a superstar, but like a real player. He can really read a defense and throw the ball. He can also run it, he can block, and he can catch it. So, good luck. It's not like Taysom Hill's on the field, now we know what New Orleans is going to do. No, you don't. You don't know what New Orleans is going to do. I like the Saints a whole lot this year.
Okay, all right. And that brings us to... Yes, number two. I don't know how many times this team has to keep going undefeated when every single game, the disrespect you're showing this team, Max. Steelers were number two last week. Have they moved? Do we have a new number one?
It's not the Steelers' fault that they didn't get to play yet. They have been jobbed time and again. They've been disrespected, and everyone always overrates an overwhelming offense like the Chiefs when they're playing mediocrity, right? Because without a great opponent to show what they can do, without that kind of opponent, a team like the Steelers doesn't really show you all the facets of the game, right? But you see against the Titans, oh, look at that, special teams won the game. Or against the Ravens, the Steelers can beat a team like that. Their defense can, even if it bends, it's not going to break against a team making a furious comeback, really. And because of that, and also because Kansas City... Like, the Bucs scored on it. They started coming back. They failed to make adjustments. Ready for this, Raj?
I'm ready.
Number two is still the Steelers, because the fact of the matter is they ain't going to beat no Chiefs. You see that offense?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Steelers are still number two. I'm sorry. Look, the Chiefs.
All right, whatever.
Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid have Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and Clyde Edwards-Helaire and a little underrated defense. Chiefs are number one. That's it.
Oh, was it? All right. Yeah. Let me up. Hey, well, Jake wants to hear number one because it has a laugh. So let's hear number one. You know who they are, but you don't have to explain. Let's hear
Kansas
it.
Kansas City Chiefs, number one.
One!
I think we need the ha-ha-ha. It will be identifiable as the count from Sesame Street.
Right.
If
well,
you
we
do
are.
The laugh after every one, you got to go five, ah.
I understand. We talked about this, but you know how we do. We prepare 5 minutes before this show rolls, just like you do.
All right. You know what? I see what I'm going to have to produce the show. I'll have to be the board op. I'll have to host it. Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. This year's Lakers team is younger and more athletic, at least in the backcourt, So does LeBron think they'll miss the veteran presence from this past season?
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
A little frog in my throat, Raj.
Put me up. Wrap it.
Yeah. Anyway, NBA training camps are underway as all 30 teams prepare for the upcoming NBA season. LeBron James says that the younger Lakers can repeat as champs. Said it on an episode of Road Trippin'. In his first extended interview since the Lakers left the NBA's bubble after winning the 2020 finals, LeBron expressed confidence LA's offseason moves will put the Lakers in a position to repeat. He emphasized the importance of health and noted the Lakers got younger with some of their acquisitions. He also touched on other roster moves this preseason. His preseason workload, the league's plan to play during the ongoing pandemic. The bubble, he talked about social justice in a very wide-ranging interview. By the way, hey, Sherlock, LeBron, you think you might repeat this year, huh? I mean, they didn't get extended by any team in the playoffs, and they just added Montrezl Harrell and replaced Rondo, who was great in the playoffs, but during the regular season was not, with Dennis Schroeder, who's coming off his best season, both as a shooter and as a defender. Schroeder the shooter. At any rate, yeah, the Lakers. By the way, it'd be one thing if the Clippers said, "Oh wait, we're going to steal Rondo from the Lakers, and then we're going to add Ibaka and maybe another shooter, another 3-and-D guy, right? Like they acquired Danny Green and Rondo or something, and Ibaka, and then you look at the Clippers and you go, is that enough to overcome Paul George's hiccups in the playoffs? But they didn't do those things. Ibaka's a nice add, but they need someone to make that offense cohesive. No, and then you look around the league, Denver was really up and coming, but we saw that Jokic and Jamal Murray don't have anything for LeBron and AD. They need more. And is Portis going to ascend that much this year that he's going to make up the difference? I don't think so. And he's not a defender either. No, so Denver didn't really add to the team. And so Dallas I like a lot. Dallas I really do like a lot. They got rid of Seth Curry, who can shoot the lights out. They got Richardson in there instead, who's not a 3-and-D guy. I describe him as a D-and-3 guy, right? Yeah, he can hit a 3, but his gravity ain't what Seth Curry's is. And Seth, like his brother, can really shoot from distance. So, like way behind the arc. So, pardon. So, I like what the Mavericks did in certain respects. But their defense got better, but they did lose a little shooting, and Porzingis isn't going to start the season. But I do think the Mavericks actually pose a problem, because if Luka improves his shooting, and there's plenty of room for improvement, he shot like 32% from three. If he's a 35% three-point shooter, and he looks like he could be, right? Like when the ball comes out of his hand, you go, yeah, looks pretty good. You know, if he just becomes a 35% three-point shooter, he's a triple-double with 30 points on average. And you saw he was a monster in the playoffs. And don't let Porzingis be healthy in the playoffs. I saw the Mavs play the Clippers, and when they were each at full strength, the Mavs were clearly better than the Clippers. Like, clearly better than the Clippers. Porzingis got a foul and then a tech on the offensive end and the defensive end. He deserved neither. He got ejected. And once Porzingis came out of the game, the Clippers took over. Remember that game? And then Porzingis got hurt later in the series. That's why the Clippers won. Porzingis stays in that series, Dallas wins. And I know Jokic and Jamal Murray are a whole lot. But as great as Jamal Murray is, who'd you rather have, Jamal Murray or Doncic? And Jokic is he's such a great passer. KP is 7'3". Like, take Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's size, add 2 inches of height, make him an excellent defender in space and in the paint, and let him shoot the three. That's Kristaps Porzingis. But so much of like analysis is perception. You perceive a guy a certain way. Just remember what we were thinking about Porzingis when he was in New York on the Knicks, and he was ascending. Well, he's coming off a catastrophic injury, a year to get back, then a year to get back to where he was. Well, now that's where we are. By the playoffs this upcoming season, that's going to be a whole lot. But still, the Lakers will be favored, and that's their biggest challenge, I think, in the West. Who else? The no-defense Portland Trailblazers? Jokic is going to make that much of a difference? Who? Who's going to challenge him? Utah? Nah. No, of course the Lakers should be heavy favorites to repeat. And by the way, there's more pressure now than there was the first year. When LeBron first got to Miami, when he first got back to Cleveland, those teams didn't win championships. It took him a year to tweak things, and then he won a championship. But the first year he was with the Lakers with AD, it was the second year with the Lakers, but the first year with AD, they won. They should get better now. And they improved the roster on paper. Meantime, there's stuff going on in the East. See, I told Philadelphia I was going to get to you. Simmons and Embiid. I mean, Doc Rivers as coach, but Daryl Morey has surrounded those guys with shooters. Like, sometimes you get so enamored with, or sorry, sometimes you focus so much on what a guy can't do that you overlook what he can do, right? Like, in baseball, someone might, the third baseman can't charge the bunt. Yeah, but he hit 40 home runs and he has a great arm. Like, well, who cares? So that's one thing he can't do. Or a catcher can't block the plate, but he calls a great game and he gets on base. J.J. Redick was awful in transition defense, and I lamented at the time that he was holding the Sixers back. But without him, you saw what happens. Embiid gets the double team. He's much less effective. Seth Curry's on that team now. You're going to double Embiid, who's a pretty good passer? You're going to double him? I was talking to Ben Dietrich about this today. You're going to double Embiid with Seth out there? I don't think so. You're going to really pay for that. Or even with Danny Green, who can also defend. No, the Sixers are going to be a problem. The only thing I'd like to see is Ben Simmons has got to start shooting from 10 to 15 feet, you know? Like, he needs, like, mid-range-ish, mid-range in. He needs to shoot. He just needs to shoot. Like, the reason people shoot threes is because it's such a practiced shot by now that the percentage unguarded is, like, the same from 15 feet and three. And if both are going to be contested, you might as well shoot the three and get the extra point. But if they're going to give you a 15-footer, a 12 to a 15-footer, take it. It's a really high-percentage shot. You know, you could be a very efficient scorer, like Kawhi takes mid-ranges, but imagine, like Ben Simmons, they don't defend him. 12 to 15 feet, take the shot. If he does, if he can even just do that, Sixers are going to be a problem. And the Bucks, if they got Bogdanovich, but that trade got undone, I might like them. Even then, they might need a little more. But Drew Holiday, well, that's just what the doctor ordered. Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, and Giannis, that's going to be a problem. East is stacked. And meantime, in New York, I told you I was going to hit New York too. The Knicks haven't done anything stupid this year. That's great in this offseason, right? Because usually they do stupid things. Any stupid franchise starts at the top. Boy, is that a stupid franchise. Let me think about who's it. Oh, yeah, Jim Dolan owns it. I'm not going to make any ad hominem attacks, Raj, because you're not allowed to say, like, oh, that person is stupid. That's mean. That's an ad hominem attack. It goes to character or whatever. But if a lot of stupid decisions are made and one person's making them at a certain point. Anyway, let me just say that the Knicks are irrelevant. They're meaningless. No one cares. The Brooklyn Nets, on the other hand, if KD is KD this year, if KD is KD, their third best player is LeVert. LeVert's good. If KD's KD and Kyrie doesn't break down team chemistry, Nets are going to be a problem. I told you Chicago also I was going to get into. I am a little bit later on.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
To get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No doubt.
A quick listen to head coach of the Rams, Sean McVay. Mm-hmm.
If I thought it was going to be the best thing to just take a deep breath and step away, then I'd say, you know, maybe, but not in either of those situations, because both of those reflected, you know, kind of having an opportunity where there was enough plays made to get back in it. And so, Yesterday, that was never part of the consideration, nor was it really for Miami, to answer your question.
Yo, Jerry Goff is in danger of getting benched.
I have to say, no doubt, in terms of danger, no doubt. Because listen to Coach's answer. If the answer is no, he'd be like, I'm not benching Jared Goff. He didn't say that. He kept the question. He kept the answer. He answered it very narrowly. You know, this last game. That's not a, you know, like ask. Here, think about it this way. Ask Andy Reid if Patrick Mahomes is getting benched.
Nope. You know,
he'd just be like, yeah, next question. That's not what just happened. Yeah, I would have to say the danger is there, no doubt.
All right, Primo's on the line, too.
Where's
later.
The
you
no,
might have something to say
Where's
about
the
that.
No doubt? I didn't hear the no doubt. Where is
no
that?
Doubt.
I know.
There it is. Yeah.
There it goes. Hey, Aaron Rodgers, happy birthday. He turns 37 today.
Ooh.
However, it'll be a disappointment if he ends his career with only one Super Bowl ring.
No doubt.
No
Aaron
doubt.
Aaron Rodgers is, like, maybe the difference between Rodgers and Mahomes, other than Mahomes looks a little bigger and stronger. And Mahomes has more of that gunslinger, having fun kind of mentality. His teammates seem to like him better. But in terms of actual on-field stuff, maybe the only difference between them is that Rodgers doesn't have the playmakers around him, you know, or didn't even at his best. I'll say this. When you think about early, middle, late of any kind of decade of your life, right? Early is going to be, let's take your 30s, because Aaron Rodgers is in his 30s. The age 30, 31, 2, and 3 are your early 30s, right? 34, 5, and 6 are your middle 30s, your mid 30s. 37, 8, and 9 are your late 30s. You get one little extra early. You get 4 on the earlies because you turn that year and it's like the round number. But Aaron Rodgers, there's something about turning 37. Like a 36-year-old quarterback, he's still kind of middle prime, late prime. When you hear 37, you go, Oh, that's getting old. I think 37 is the first year you say that's an old quarterback, and that's what Aaron Rodgers is now, although he's still
good. All right, you tease it. Someone we pick on deserves a little more credit than we're giving him. Hey, Baker Mayfield deserves credit for the Browns being 8-3.
He deserves some of it. I mean, they really hide him a lot, Raj. Like, you know, Baker, they what they figured out about Baker, and Stansky's figured this out, is ask him not to mess things up. Don't ask him to go out and win the game for you. And he seemed just to be just the opposite kind of quarterback when he came out of college. Like, he's the kind of guy who's going to go win it for you in a big moment. He's not that. But he is a competent NFL quarterback, given the right coach and a lot of weapons and a defense. It can be a winning quarterback. Not everyone can do that. He can. So, yes, he deserves credit in that way. But in terms of the way you mean it, nah, son. No, it's not like Baker Mayfield, 8-3, represents the kind of quarterback he is. I was a supporter of his for a long time. I will say he and Odell need to be on different teams. It's clear that they perform better separately than they do together. And since they, you know, unless they can get something for Baker, they want to move on, they need to trade Odell out of Cleveland. Less than an hour away from kickoff, Ravens Steelers. Keep it locked right here for the latest Max Kellerman Show.